With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
That's how we do it. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, on a defense, and of course, worldwide. I'm CBS Sports Center. We've got a great show for you today. Ted, it should be a great show because one, two, three. We'll take them all, Bob. Joker, Joker, and the triple. The Yankees at 1 o'clock. The Mets last night in a really entertaining game from the seventh inning on. And the New York Rangers on the road against Montreal get the 2-0 win. So they go up 1-0 in the best of seven for the playoffs. Everybody wins. Everybody's happy. Let's do it. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
How do you think I'm doing today?
I think you're doing great.
I think I'm doing today because I saw a team last night that actually I haven't seen in about 2 months. And that was a team that was committed to defense. Henrik played out of his mind last night. He was great. They played fast. There were only about three or four turnovers in their own zone, and all by, unfortunately, the same guy, Nick Holden. But, you know, five men playing defense. Great, perfect on the penalty kill. Tanner Glass gets the goal. Empty net goal by Michael Grabner. Their third period, especially the second half of the third period, they were just awesome defensively. What was I telling you? You want to win hockey games. You want to win playoff games. You want to win baseball playoff games. You want to win NBA playoff games. It has to start from the defensive side of the sport. And so for the Rangers, it's from the goalie on out. And he was awesome last night. 31 shots, 31 saves.
And it wasn't your prototypical goal either.
No, it was like, a backhanded goal.
A backhand from 15 feet away off a faceoff.
And it was the fourth line. And the great thing about the fourth line is the guys, Duguay and Steve Alquette, were talking about after the game, whether it be Oscar Lindbergh or whether it be Jesper Foss, or in this case, Tanner Glass, who was buried in the down in Hartford pretty much for 85% of the season, but was called up just to add a little grit to the team. Bushnevich, the rookie, was a little bit over his head, especially on defense. He would have been ran over last night probably about five or six times because that's the way the Canadians are trying to play this thing. And I thought there were a couple guys that really played their ass off last night, and Dan Girardi was one of them. He looked really, really good last night.
You always talk about, you know, the highest paid guys, the big time players, the stars in the playoffs. You got to step up. In hockey, if you have a goalie that plays his ass off, you give yourself a really good chance to win. And I assume that's what you guys all feel about it today, right?
Absolutely. And the thing about the NHL and the playoffs, I swear to God, the guys would play for free to go get their hands on the cup. I swear to God, the intensity is palatable. You could feel it through the screen. You know, the Montreal fans are insane. That place was crazy last night for whatever reason. And I don't know what it is. And maybe the last two wins at home will change things at Madison Square Garden. The Rangers played really a smart, smart game last night. And like I said, a couple of turnovers in the zone and only a handful of icings. Icings are where they bring the puck back into your zone and they have a face-off, and those sometimes lead to goals, especially late in games. So only a couple of those last night. I mean, it was really a very satisfying game. The only thing that was not great was they had a great second period, and Carey Price was out of his mind. He's the goalie for the Canadiens. He played great last night, gave his team a chance to win, as Joe Micheletti was saying, and finally Joe was a little bit critical last night of some Ranger plays, but it's the playoffs, you know, and everybody's got to be, you know, spot on. Everybody's got to play well. Everybody's got to play well together. So five-man defensive concept, half of the second half of the third period, it was lockdown central.
Right.
And they got the empty net goal.
Well,
so I'm happy. That's one. That's one of 16.
Your goal was to get one. You got one early, so now you have a chance to do two. Right.
Now you want two.
Right. Meanwhile, on the baseball front, we'll do Phillies first, just go backwards. And, you know, Phillies, Mets have a nice 5-0 lead. Wheeler, much better than his first outing. So you feel good about that. And then you got the bases loaded. And then you got your boy, Hanser Robles.
He's being overused right now.
And The thought is, of course, from a baseball perspective, throw some strikes.
And get a strike.
Get the ball in play,
especially when you have a five-run lead.
Well, he threw a strike.
I know. The last thing that the manager wants or anybody wants is a walk. And Hansel, it was a huge hit. I think personally, Robles is being used too much. He's out there every single game. He needs a break. Just like I was saying the other day, Jose Reyes needs a break.
Yeah, he does.
And they're dropping him down to number 7 in the order. And there's only two other guys on the roster right now, as the team is currently constituted, that can be a leadoff hitter. I don't know how good they would be at leadoff hitters, but I told you the other day it was Michael Conforto. It's either him or Lagares have to be the leadoff hitters if Jose Reyes is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And Jose Reyes is horrendous right now.
Yep.
I mean, bad. I mean, 37 at-bats, only 2 hits, 11 strikeouts. Come on.
He's batting 054.
I mean, and I understand slumps, and I understand these players go through it. And that's why I was saying before this series started with the Phillies – I thought they should be playing Wilmer Flores. Wilmer Flores should be playing every single day.
I still think they should be playing Wilmer Flores.
Well, he should be playing every day right now, because Jose Reyes, I don't care what his history is. I don't care how long he's been a Met and what they're paying him and all this other crap. Sit him down. He's not getting the job done. And everybody knows it, by the way. And I think the first thing is you drop him in the lineup, which is what they've done.
Yep.
And he has not responded. Well, he had a hit the other night.
They sweep the Phillies, so that's the good part. And they did they only had 6 hits, and they sweep the Phillies. Wheeler obviously looked a lot better. So you do what you had to do. You're in first place. You take every single game. You get good pitching again, and you feel good about yourself if you're the Mets. The Yankees, you gotta give the Yankees a hand too. Drizzly, nasty day for a good part of the day. You know, you take a kid that no one ever heard of, Montgomery, you put him out there, and you go, all right, look, you're going to start at Yankee Stadium. And he gives up too early, and you go, oh boy, here we go, right?
Yeah.
And then you look, kid settled down, pitch well. Aaron Judge is a effing beast right now. Hits another bomb.
And so is Chase Headley.
Headley's playing his ass off.
I'm happy for Headley.
And the New York Yankees have righted the ship based on how the first week of the season started. They've now had a much better week, and they feel pretty good.
Right, certainly happy for Headley. And the reason you're happy for Headley is because he was coming into this season as like the older guy. He and Ellsbury, if you ask me, there were two guys that the older guys playing significant positions, playing a lot of games, and not living up to the contract that the team has given him. And I told you, he had to get off to a good start.
And a couple young guys that people wanted to see if he don't play well.
He has to get off to a good start. Now, he's been off to a really good start, and the nice thing about him in his post-game press conferences, he's about as humble as it gets.
Yeah.
I mean, because he knows that this stuff is...
Yeah, he's batting 393 and 2 more hits yesterday.
Yeah,
it feels good.
He's doing everything that you want him to do.
But I will say this. You know, we talked all about Gary Sanchez. This dude, I mean... First off, he's the biggest guy I've ever seen in a uniform.
Judge, you mean?
Yeah, have you ever seen a bigger dude?
He's like an offensive tackle.
He's like, he's 6'7".
He's like an offensive tackle.
He ain't 6'7" like Randy Johnson, where he's thin. This dude could be a tight end in the NFL.
I said an offensive tackle.
He could be a tight end in the NFL.
I think a tackle.
No, he's too athletic to be a tackle.
No, well, you got to have athletic tackles. Just ask Eli Manning. He'll tell you. That's why Eric Flowers has got to come back, and he's got to be like Judge, and let's go.
Like,
it's your time.
There's some people that just look great in a uniform.
Thank you.
A-Rod looked great in a uniform. Yeah. Aaron Judge looks great in a uniform.
He does.
He's batting over 300. He's got 7 RBIs, 3 home runs, and I give the Yankees credit. A come-from-behind victory last night at the stadium, or yesterday afternoon, and then they'll try to do it again, and then they'll try to take all 3 from Tampa. But Severino on the mound today.
Well,
everyone's got to be in a good mood today.
Right, because even the Knicks won.
Everybody won.
But here's the other thing,
of course, the Knicks
too.
Hurt themselves in the draft by winning.
In regards to Severino, real quickly.
Yes.
In regards to Severino. You know, he's like Wheeler. He's like the Wheeler of the Yankees. You know, every outing, he's got to get better. Every outing, he's got to go out there and show the Yankees that he belongs in the starting rotation. And this is yet another one of those outings for him tonight. He's got to go out there.
Yeah.
He's got to show that he belongs.
But I will say this. Yesterday was Good Day Wednesday, because I also found out that the New York Jets have no interest in Colin Kaepernick. And that's not even from the Jets. That's just from the peeps I talk to.
Okay.
So Colin Kaepernick is not going to become a New York Jet. But today they are getting a visit from your boy Mitchell Trubisky, that dude kid from Carolina.
Right.
So they've already had a private workout with him. Now he comes to Florham Park to check out the scenario. And that's on the heels of the 49ers announcing yesterday they have the second pick in the draft. We are open for business. You want our pick? Let's talk.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if the Jets have enough. Who knows what San Francisco would want.
Seems like this Mitchell Trubisky is
he's
rising. His stock is rising for whatever. It feels Carson Wentz-esque.
So to me, we've made a few mistakes with drafting quarterbacks, clearly. If that is the kid and you think he is,
gotta go get him.
And the Niners have said, we are open for business, if I'm the Jets, I got to put together a package and go get it.
Only if they feel like he's the guy. You know, I mean.
Well, I assume they like him.
Just because they're meeting with him doesn't mean that they think that he's worth the second pick overall or the sixth pick.
The fact that they already worked him out and now they're bringing him in, that means something?
But a lot of teams have done that. And they're doing that with Deshaun Watson, too. They're also doing it with Patrick Mahomes, a kid from Texas Tech.
I mean, there's got to be some level
Deshaun Kizer is out there. He's being, you know. Now, look, they want to find more out about these kids. I think. It just feels like, to me, reading everything and watching what is going on out there, that Trubisky is the guy that everybody thinks is going to be the number one pick. It feels kind of like Carson Wentz
number
was
one
last
year. Or the first quarterback.
The first quarterback. He'll be number one. Miles Garrett's going to be number one to Cleveland. That's that defensive end that's just, you know, he's out there showing everybody that he's the man and all this other stuff. It seems like everybody has a consensus that guy is a can't-miss player. So
if you're the Jets and you love Trubisky, you got to go get him because he ain't going to go to six.
Yeah, but I see a lot of the.
Wouldn't you think?
There's so much misinformation right now.
Right.
It's hard to really put your finger on who thinks who's the best quarterback and all that other stuff. Most people are saying, well, if the Jets took him at six, that would be a wasted pick. You know, he should not be the sixth player taken overall. He's not the sixth best player.
Well, it's easy to say when you're not the guy that needs a quarterback.
I will say this.
Go ahead.
If you take him and you take him that high, it basically tells me that they whiffed on Hackenberg last year.
Oh, whiffed badly, too. Which I think they've almost come out and said without saying it. For the scuttlebutt to be that he's light years away, you know, he's all that crap, that means that they took a shot and it failed. Or we don't know because they've never given the kid a legitimate opportunity. I don't know.
Right. The other problem here for the Jets is that I think their defense will be okay, but it's not going to be Seattle or San Francisco-esque when Colin Kaepernick first started with Jim Harbaugh and when Russell Wilson started with Pete Carroll. They don't have that kind of defense to support.
Right,
a young kid that's going to go out there and you're just going to ask him to throw 20 to 25 times a game. So I think if you go that high for one of these kids, you got to say this kid's playing for you.
Put him right in like the Eagles did Wentz. I agree.
I think you have
to. And then last night, something magical happened. And it's magical and confusing at the very same time. Fourth quarter, Knicks and Sixers. In a game that otherwise would be meaningless, other than the fact that based on what the Timberwolves did last night, the Knicks now have lost ping pong balls in the NBA draft. Genius.
Perfect.
That being said, about 3, 4, 5 minutes to go, fourth quarter, close game. Carmelo Anthony has not taken the towel off for the entire fourth quarter. He's not going to play. He played a lot of the first half. He played a little bit in the third quarter, and now he's done. And the 17,000 plus that are there to watch the New York Knicks end what could arguably be characterized as one of the three worst seasons in the history of the franchise, which is now at 70 years of basketball. The Garden crowd starts chanting. And unbelievably, they start chanting, "We want Melo." Have you people not paid attention to what's gone on here over the last 3 years? Have you not picked up a newspaper? Have you not recognized what the F is wrong with this team? Mm. And then to compound the fan reaction to Melo not playing and wanting Melo in the game in the fourth quarter, the New York Knicks pretty much, I don't know if they officially announced it. I don't know how it came about, if someone asked the question, if they offered it. Phil Jackson not only went the entire year without speaking to the New York media, which has never been done in the history of team sports in New York that I'm aware of. It came out yesterday. He will also not address the media this offseason.
It's a joke, man.
You are the president of one of the most beloved franchises next to the Yankees
As you saw last night.
Sold out game, chanting for Melo. These people love the Knicks. And the face of the franchise,
which we thought was going to be Phil Jackson, not only blew off the New York fan base and the media all year, you're telling me he's not going to give you a state of the union for the team? He's not going to walk you through his thoughts on the season, the promise of next year of the draft? He is basically, you know, remember 2 years ago I called him the Wizard?
Yes.
Like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
I mean, he's living up to it.
Yeah.
He's there, but he's unreachable. I've never in my life seen anything like that. And for some reason, Jim Dolan, who's not afraid of the media, who's not afraid of calling a fan an a-hole on the streets of New York City, he's allowing Phil Jackson to hide in plain sight. And I don't know why he allows it. Phil Jackson owes the fan base a press conference in which guys like Frank Isola are allowed to ask questions.
Mm. This is like Ray Hanley-esque. This is John Idzik-esque.
Yeah,
this is Richie.
Right.
This is Richie Kotite-esque.
Yep.
The incompetence.
I read that story. What do you mean he's not talking? He's got to give you an end of the season recap.
Dude, it's just you cannot make it up. You really can't.
You don't even realize because you went on the show with all the women on this network.
Yes.
Can we talk? Is that right?
Can we talk? Yes.
And that was it. I mean, has not spoken to the media all year and refuses to talk to the media. Now that the season's over.
Here's what I hope.
What the heck is that?
I hope Carmelo decides, okay, I'm out of here, I'm leaving. And wherever he goes, he takes that team to a championship level. Because then I think he'll finally speak as to what the hell's going on around here.
I agree. You know, in a weird way, you don't want that to happen. But at the same time, God, I want to know. I want to be flying that wall. I want someone to come out one day and say, like George Carl wrote a book. And you could be angry about the book because he told things that happened, right?
You probably shouldn't.
Boy, I would love a guy that lived it, whether it's Hornacek, whether it's Derek Fisher, whether it's Melo, whoever it is. I'd love that. I'd love to hear the real inner workings of the Phil Jackson Knicks.
Because
I'll tell you what, I say it all the time. I feel bad for the people that we know that work at Madison Square Garden who are good people. Who want to, enjoy being a Garden employee in the
Hell
Knicks.
Hell yeah, they want the excitement. They want the excitement of the playoffs
and they
in their
are put
building.
In such a bad spot because of this tool. They really, really are.
I mean, but two tools, actually. Maybe even three or four tools for
you
that matter.
Line. So we got lots to do today.
A lot of people making a lot of guaranteed money, man.
I will say this. It's Positive Thursday.
Yes.
These come along like three or four times a year. Not frequently, but the Mets win. They sweep the Phillies. Foo you, Philly. First place. The New York Yankees win again. They own Yankee Stadium during the day, and they'll take Tampa tonight, hopefully. But they win again. They're feeling good about themselves.
I'm surprised that the Yankees just don't make their whole home schedule during the day.
Right?
That'd be something that they would probably want to do, right?
It would be nice if they did it. Now I'll get to the attendance with Jerry later.
Okay.
Oh, he's going to be embarrassed again.
Why is he going to be embarrassed?
Well, you tell me what happens when the Yankees play at 1 o'clock on Wednesday and see what the attendance is like. Oh, I saw it. It's like, I've got the number. And, of course, the New York Rangers do what every Ranger fan was hopeful for, could never have predicted, but got like an early Christmas gift, a 2-0 win on the road against Montreal.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.